Hey, everybody.
Hey.
There's some folks that were praying for me, for my knee. Yesterday, I couldn't walk.
Look at me. It's amazing. Are you praying for me? There were some folks praying for me. I called Jason just to let him know what was going on. And that was a good thing, because this is the first time I've really experienced this. I know it's happened before, but I experienced it. I can't explain it. I'm not trying to get mystical on you, but I felt I could tell the prayers of people. The grace was coming on me all day long. I was taking a walk in the snow Wednesday night in the mountains. I was 3 miles from my truck. Snow was about that deep. I was coming downhill, and I was in the middle of the woods. I wasn't on a trail, and I didn't see the rocks under the snow, and my foot went between two of them, and I fell forward, and my foot was stuck. So I fell with all my weight on my leg like a pocket knife. And I felt my knee on the side, like if you took a piece of material and went, I just felt it go, and it hurt. I said, Lord Jesus, because I'm in the middle of them woods and there was snow on the ground and I didn't think I was going to be able to walk. And I got up and just prayed, and I walked the whole way out to my truck for 3 miles. And I got up in the morning, and this is how I was yesterday when I went to bed, right before I packed my suitcase. It's a neat story, but this is how I walked yesterday. That's how I walked, and my knee was swelled up, fluid. And I called Pastor Jason and told him, and they were praying, and he saw a marquee sign. Moving forward in faith, forward in faith. He said, are you okay to make the trip? I said, oh, I'm coming. I said, I'm coming. I just wanted to give you a heads up. I'm just believing God. I don't know what state it'll be, but I mean, I'm coming. And he said, well, I just read a marquee, forward in faith. And that's the word for you. I said, amen. So it's amazing, guys. Get up there, and I opened up my suitcase on the bed, and I went and I got out some socks, and I was getting my clothes, and I laid them in the suitcase. I'm packing for the trip. Can hardly walk. I turned to go get more clothes, and it seemed 50% better. As soon as I laid my clothes in the suitcase. It's just fun. It's just fun. So then I just kept packing my suitcase, and I said to my wife, look at me. So I did a couple circles around the bedroom, and I'm like, whoa. Now, it wasn't like this. I still had a pretty good gait yesterday. And I woke up this morning and still had that gait. When I got to the airport at Harrisburg this morning, I was probably walking like that. Knee was really swelled. I got to Charlotte, landed, had to walk from B to E. If you fly, you know that's a long way at Charlotte. And I can't explain it other than Jesus is so good. I just kept feeling better as I went, and I got closer to here. And I feel just about completely normal. Literally. It's just amazing. I can go up and down steps. Yesterday, I couldn't do steps. I mean, your knee just doesn't change in less than 24 hours. Not when you feel it go, and it's puffed up like a balloon. I mean, it was all puffy. Whew. So there's just something about this. Listen, it's not, you know, there was people praying for me. It's something about receiving grace. But here's the thing I want to say about it. Don't let anything that you're going through change who He is in your heart and who you've become in Him. Amen. You don't live from moment to moment. You live in Him. So you never ask for this stuff to happen. I wish this stuff... Wouldn't it be nice if something like that would just never happen? I mean, that would be like a pretty smooth ride. But if it does happen, how do you respond? We have to know Him enough and be surrendered enough and understand enough not to fall apart and live from circumstance to circumstance. It's not how this happened to me, why'd this happen to me, why'd you let this happen to me. I've seen people throw themselves into a mess when stuff like that happens, especially right before you're leaving for a trip to come, and I'm excited to see you guys. And then you could get your mind in such an analytical place and just go bonkers. Do you understand what I mean? And then all your prayers become desperation, frustration, instead of relationship, intimacy, and love. I want to talk about that song that we just closed with. You know, I'm free from fear. Why? I'm a child of God. Let me expound on that just for a second. Because when we were singing that, I'm like, that kind of stuff burns in me. Man, and all them folks you read off, they're all watching. They're in that camera right there. See, I don't think, I'm not a technical guy, but that's for some reason right now fascinating me. Like, hi, everybody. They're all out there from all them places. Hey, everybody. Look, I'm going to preach the gospel to you tonight, so I'm glad you tuned in. But listen to this. Why are we free from fear? Because we're a child of God. Now listen, it's not some magical thing. It's not like, okay, I'm a child of God, so fear disappears. It's what we understand. It's what we've become. And man, as long as somebody's going to have faith to hand me a microphone, I'm going to shout this thing loud and be redundant if it sounds like it. But there's a reason we're Christians. And there's a reason that fear leaves when you see who you've become. The reason fear leaves, it's not a magical thing. It's not like God just bzzz and takes the fear away. You say, yeah, but perfect love casts out all fear. But what's that really mean to us? I know people that have quoted that for 20 years in fear all the time. In all you're getting, get understanding. Man, when your heart comes alive in this thing, choo! See, I'm convinced that 90-some percent of our Christianity is lived out through a changed perspective. If God can change my eye, He changes my whole life. If He can change what I see, it determines what I become.
That's right.
So in the gospel, we love not our own lives unto death. In the gospel, we deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. When we get born again, we realize, oh my whole life I've been living for me, my prosperity, my reputation, my acceptance. My whole life I was living for me. Not His image, His glory, His great name, or others. Come on. It's true for every one of us. That's why we were angry, frustrated, jealous, competitive. Living at the expense of one another. In the same breath saying, hey, I love you. Laying down our lives for one another is love. Living at the expense of one another is the perversion. So I'm not correcting anybody. I'm explaining something that we sang that's powerful. It's in your perspective. See, we love not our own life unto death. And as long as somebody's going to hand me a microphone, I feel it's like a holy calling, a holy responsibility to make this thing clear that it's not just about blessings and favor and breakthrough and you having a good ride. It's about you becoming one with Him through His great love and the sacrifice of His Son and understanding what it accomplished and who it leaves you to be now that He came. So for years I've been a Christian and the message to the church at large has been that I've been around and that I've heard around me is, you know, your breakthrough, your blessing, getting favor from God, just getting a better day, getting your broken stuff fixed. It all sounds so good. But man, it's so so focused on yourself that if those things aren't happening, you're in wondering, you're wondering why, you're perplexed, and you're not having intimacy with God because you have questions. Yeah, I'm just being plain here. Come on, I'm not even close to preaching that message. Like, I am so blessed in my heart with what I understand. I don't need anything from God. He's given me who He is and put that on the inside of me. Like, I'm one with Him. So then in that place, godliness with contentment's great gain. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. Like, there's no wanting in my life. A lot of what we think we need is wants. We're using something to fulfill something that only He can change. We're fulfilled. So here's why there's no fear, because we're a child of God. Because we never again, when we're a Christian, we die to everything we ever were and everything we were motivated by. People, it's imperative that we preach that from pulpits all over the country and the world. It's neat that there's countries tuned in. We're not Christians for blessing. We're Christians for transformation. We're Christians for old things to pass away and all things to become new. That's the motive of my life, the way I'm thinking, perceiving, the eye I'm looking through. Everything changes. Let me get real practical with this. The reason I wake up in the morning is changed. I'm not waking up for me. I'm not waking up for a better day. I'm not waking up just to go to work. I'm not waking up to be loved by you. I'm waking up in Him to be like Him, to manifest Him, to make Him known, waking up to shine. So watch. Fear leaves in that place because it's not really ever again truly about me in and of myself. It's Christ in me. the hope of glory. Do you get this? Come on, this is exciting to me. I can almost feel something in the room that feels funny to me. I'm going to preach it till it drops into everybody. Listen, sometimes we come to a service like this, we're all excited, and what's God going to do? It's always about becoming more like Him. Amen. Holy Spirit doesn't hover over us just to bless us. It's to give definition and right? Didn't He hover over the waters in the beginning? God spoke and Holy Spirit made things happen. Think about that. He comes in a service and He's in us and among us. He's not just here and He doesn't want us just here for what He can do for us, but how He can minister to us and impart to us to make us more like Him. When we become more like Him, fear is history. When you wake up with the right motive and the right reason for being, fear doesn't even have a voice, let alone a temptation or power. You can live fearless. It's why Jesus told us to fear not. He's not telling us to just knuckle down and buckle up and try not to be afraid. We love not our own lives unto death. We see our lives in Him for His glory, for the highest sake of others. And that's freedom. Come on, guys. That's freedom. If it's just about me and how I feel and how you're treating me and how things are going and how things aren't going and all about my day, I am going to stay in bondage and go to church my whole life and not be free. Come on, I'm just being real. Because you're only going to be as good as things are going. And all your prayers are motivated by what is and isn't happening around you. And rarely will you have true union and communion with God. You'll just have a list. Amen. Instead of intimacy. Amen. Instead of, boy, I appreciate you. I so thank you that while I was yet a sinner lost and didn't have a clue, you had a better destiny for me. You knew who I was from the beginning. You knew the potential. You knew that I had purpose. Lord, thanks for never losing sight. Thank you that love never fails. Thank you for teaching me that very eye towards others. Thanks for putting your heart in me and giving me your ways and teaching me. You're amazing. That's intimacy. You wake up like that, I'm no longer in any fear. Why? Because I'm a child of God. You get it? It's not a confession. It's a revelation of transformation. My whole reason for being has changed. I don't wake up for what you can do for me. I don't wake up to pray for my day to go better. I wake up to be in Him so He's found in me, so that people see who He is through me in an everyday, practical, wonderful way. Whether it's somebody getting healed, touched, encouraged, blessed, or just my disposition, my purpose, and my motive sowing seeds into their heart. But all of a sudden, you're different because He's in you and you're in Him. Come on, 2 Peter 1 says this, that we have exceedingly great and precious promises by which, through them, we partake of His divine nature. The promises that He's talking about have nothing to do with full vats and barns. Does God provide? Of course. Is it good to have full vats and barns? Yeah. Is that why we have the promises? The promises are to assure that everything necessary to become like Him is available. And then in that place, we've escaped the corruption. 2 Peter chapter 1, it's in there. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And that word doesn't mean bound to a pornography magazine. That word means self-centered, unsatisfiable desire. So guess why I have promises? To assure that the grace sufficient enough or needed is available to make me like Him, to separate me and sanctify me and call me out of darkness, translate me into the light, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So that my whole reason for being is changed. My whole motive and purpose in life is different. I've partaken of His divine nature and escaped the corruption that was destroying me through thinking for myself. Come on. Why are people full of fear? Thinking for themselves and how this is affecting them, how it's going to hurt them, how it's going to pan out. Worry, 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 pray, pray, pray. And it's a self-focused, turned inward thing. It's deception. Look, when this thing happened to my knee the other day, you could fall into that in a moment. Especially, I haven't had anything happen to me like that in years. Twice my knee popped when I was running over the years, and I'm aggressive. So I'm just prayed over my knee and took off running. And the first four steps, it felt like I was going to die. But you can see I didn't. And I'm not telling you to do that. I did that. It's what I saw. So I'm just running. I still remember I was on Zarfoss Road. Now I'm running. Oh, look at that. Oh, I'm just excited. I couldn't walk yesterday. Ah! Yeah! I'm on Zarfoss Road. I'm jogging. And I run pretty fast. I stay under 7-minute miles for 5 to 6 miles. I keep that pace. I'm cranking, Jason. I'm cranking. And it's like a Rocky movie, only in the spirit. It's like, Jesus. And he's talking to me, and I'm like, ah! And you can tell when I really hear clear because I'm going, man. And I'm running, and my knee just went, it just felt like something snapped. And you pull up like a racehorse that just tore a hamstring. And I said, oh, Lord Jesus. I said, knee, you were made to work. You were made by God, and you were made to serve me and carry me all the days of my life. Now you work. You get with it in Jesus' name. That's just how it went. Kept on going. So when you have experiences like that, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you can't walk, and yet you had breakthrough. If you're not understanding what I'm preaching, that stuff drives you bonkers. And now you're comparing that to this. What am I doing wrong now? Next thing you know, you're striving, trying to repeat the glory of yesterday. Come on. You see people healed. You travel every weekend and God's doing cool things. And now you can't walk. If you don't understand what I'm preaching, that stuff will drive you to prayer. Drive you to try to receive. Put a focus on you and get you very self-conscious, that place can get weird. Are you guys following me or am I talking in riddles? Am I making sense? Because you all are just kind of looking at me. It looks like a deliverance meeting. I just kind of did look like a little deliverance going on there. So. I said, well, I hope it's good. Listen, guys, this stuff is simple to me. This stuff is simple. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. And we just, because that song grabbed my heart. But do you understand what I mean by that? When you see things in your life, when you haven't... Like people say, well, I'm believing for divine health and divine healing. Man, pursue relationship with Jesus. All those things are found in Him, relationship with Jesus. Don't make them topics that you're pressing into. Seek Him, get to know Him, and you'll find out who He is in your life. And the church might call it divine healing. I think it's just living in Him. You know, it's just, I don't believe to not get sick. I don't even think about it. Do you follow me? I don't even think about it. So I don't talk about this much from the platform, and it's crazy that I'm doing it now with camera running and all those lists, that all them people. Because I usually don't talk like this, but I'm saying it for a reason. I don't get sick. I'm not comparing me to you. I don't even get head colds. I haven't for years and years and years. It's just something I see and understand, I believe. I don't even think about it. Like, I don't try to avoid you coughing on me. I don't even think about germs, nothing. I think kingdom. So there's zero fear. I'm not thinking about me and my well-being. I just don't ever find myself in that. So now get real with me. When you have that in your understanding, resume, and your life's experience, and then you twinge your knee and it seems to be taking you out and you're not feeling better in the moment, if you aren't rock solid and established in truth, that right there shakes you out of everything that's true. Amen. Because now your resume is causing more confusion in the Lord, because you're going, man, I don't even get sick. Why am I? What is, what's so tough about this? And all of a sudden you're striving to get something from God instead of staying in Him. Am I making sense? This is important to me because it's relational. Come on, we're not rubbing a lamp to get a breakthrough. We're not praying the right prayers to get change. We're in relationship with love that never fails. We're in relationship with Almighty God. Like He's our Father. And we're His kids. So I'm not confused Wednesday night. I'm super thankful because I could have been stuck out there in the snow 3 miles from my truck. I mean, I'm in a place where I've taken people already. I hunt a little bit. I do some turkey hunting and stuff. And I've had people back there and their cell phones don't work. So I don't carry one. So people say, see, you should have a cell phone. Well, back there, they don't work anyway in the mountains and them. They just don't. And so I would have been stuck there in the snow all night till somebody figured out I was in trouble and would have come to look for me. And it probably would have been a long time till they found me 3 miles from my truck in the middle of the woods. And I said, whoa, I can't be sitting out here all night. This ain't cool. So I stood up and I just talked to Jesus about it. And I just started walking. And I'm telling you, it hurt. But I made it out. Man, that's the time when you really want to know Him and understand He loves you. And it's not just about being healed. He's for me. He shed His blood for me. He died on a cross. He faced death and He crushed it and conquered it. And I'm never going to die. Come on, take that personal. Not your boss. Take that personal. See what that'll do to your life. He came and was made to be sin. Come on, guys. You want to take something personal? He was made to be sin who knew no sin, who was completely pure and holy, continually, always. Not even a slant to His motives. Pure as could be. And He took the hit on the cross and was made to be sin. So I could forever, with a clear conscience, a pure heart, sincere faith, stand right and pure in the sight of God. Probably ought to take that personal, huh? I bet that's where life begins. Not whether my knee's working right now or not. Probably that I'm right with God. Probably that all my sins are forgiven and washed away and they'll never be mentioned before the throne. Thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. No remembrance of my past. A brand new creature created in Christ. His workmanship for good works. Come on, guys. That's what I'm taking personal. Not how somebody treated me. Not how my circumstances are going. See, Jeff said something today when we were eating lunch. He talked about something that God really shifted in him years ago. Is when his circumstances weren't going well, he took it personal and thought that it reflected on his standing with God. And if he was living displeasurable to God or whatever, as if God's always behind your circumstances. That's a bondage place to live, because you're only as close to Jesus as things are going around you. And if things ain't going well, that's what your relationship then looks like. And you're always in a quandary and you're trying to get close to Him, and He loves you and paid the price for you to be in intimacy. It's just a lack of understanding. So what happened, Jeff, when God changed your perspective? Right to Him, right? And there's nowhere else to go now. Yay. See, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm not here to serve it. I'm here to be His. Being His doesn't mean I prayed a prayer to go to heaven. It means I surrendered to His image, His nature, and His purpose. Come on. Being His doesn't mean my name's in the book of life. It means life's in me. Come on. Stuff gets me so excited, it makes me want to run. Oh, that's fun. Jason, that's fun. See, you weren't in my shoes yesterday. I was. That's why I'm so whacked out right now. Yo. I couldn't even do steps yesterday. It was really, my wife was hurting for me. I decided I'm carrying my suitcase up to the bedroom to pack it. You should have seen me going up the steps with my empty suitcase. You would have thought there was 500 pounds in there. And she's like, can I help you? I said, I'll be all right. Just moving forward. Thanks for praying for me, guys. Man, so good. See, this stuff's important because if trials come and circumstances come, you've got to be rooted and grounded in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that you don't become the thing you're experiencing. Because
yeah.
You already are what He's accomplished.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Good.
Come on, so many people that are sincere, good, God-fearing people are trapped living from crisis to crisis, circumstance to circumstance. Knocking on wood. Come on! How's things going, brother? Well, we've been on a pretty smooth ride. As if the whole goal of our Christianity is a smooth ride. The goal of our Christianity is His image expressed in the face of it all. The goal of our Christianity is the manifestation of His heart in the midst of life. Pressures, unfairness, uncertainty. Where you know one thing's settled, you're in Him and He's in you and nothing's going to change. He loves you and you've laid down your life for the sake of His name and others. Greater love hath no man than this. And that's why we're on the planet. Come on, if we get that, we'll never be a slave to fear. And it'll be so much more than a song that's pulling on our heart. It'll be a reality we live. And we'll get pretty excited singing it. You know, sometimes people sing songs wishing it was theirs. It's all ours in Him. So I hope you guys are following me tonight. It's just the track I got on here right out of the gate. I'm excited too about my knee. I knew that was going to happen. I was like, Lord, you're just fun. He's just fun. Listen, years ago, I twisted my knee in a skid board when I was working in a warehouse. And my knee tore. I tore my knee. They took an MRI and they said it was a serious tear and I needed an emergency medical surgery on my knee and 5 months rehabilitation. That's what they told me. And I looked at that doctor and I said, well, listen, I appreciate you and it was when they were taking the MRI. They didn't have the diagnosis yet, but he had told me, you absolutely have a serious tear. You have no stability in your knee. Like when I laid it on the table, he told me to move and do stuff with it. Nothing. He said, you have no stability, nothing. You have a major tear. You're going to need surgery. And I wasn't being arrogant, and I'm not against doctors. Don't read into what I'm saying. Listen carefully. I said, you're not touching me with that knife, doctor. I'm telling you in my heart. He said, Dan, I'm a Christian doctor. I understand you're a man of God, a man of faith, but there's nothing lost in receiving a surgery. I've helped countless people with my God-gifted hands and abilities and stuff. And I said, that's not my issue. Doctors and you, blessing man, I believe you and bless 1,000 more. That's not my issue. He said, well, then you have me confused. Why are you so adamant about not having surgery? I said, because where is the power of His name? That was my motivation. At that season in my life, I wanted the power of His name. And I held out my hands like this. I'll never forget it. I said, where's the power of His name, doctor? That when I speak His name, things change, things obey, things come into alignment. I said, doctor, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have the power of His name. He said, whew, you're really serious about this. And I'm like, I'm playing it cool on you, friend. I am really serious. Like, I'm playing it cool for you right now because some of you are already edgy and that's scary because you come to this church. You should be all right with me. I'm pretty playing it cool right now. But I went home and laid on the couch. And see, I got to tell you some of these experiences because when you have these experiences and then you don't have it down the road, that can throw your mind bonkers. Are you following that point? Because then you're living off of that testimony, and if you don't get the same result, you're thinking, what did I lose? Where am I slipping? What's different now? And all of a sudden, you got more questions than answers. You follow me? Because as true as you're sitting there and I'm standing here, I was laying on my couch when I left the doctor's office and I said, okay, Lord. They took the MRI. They told me what it's going to be. They didn't read it yet, but he told me it's probable and I'm going to this and this. But it's the power of your name I'm after and I know you love me and et cetera, et cetera. And I just was thinking about the guys I work with and the testimony and I was handing out tapes and I was praying for coworkers and there was just a lot of momentum at my work. And this just felt like bummer. You know what I mean? And while I was laying on my couch with the knee, I'm telling you, it looked like a football. My knee was, I had crutches. There was no way I could bend it at all. I'm laying on my knee, on my couch. My knee looked like a football. It was so, they already stuck a needle in twice and drained it. And it just went, filled right back up. Oh, it hurt so bad. And I was going around on crutches in my house for 2 days, a day and a half this was going on. And I was laying on my couch and right there laying on my couch, Jesus came. Yeah. He just hovered over me and loved on me. And I was just like, oh, Jesus, I love you too. And it wasn't like, heal my knee, heal my knee. It was just, you're amazing. And, oh, we're doing the love thing, right? We're just, it was awesome. And while he was there hovering over me, loving on me, he just fixed my knee. That's fun. And everybody's like, oh, I want that. But you have to understand that it's not about that. It's about Him, knowing Him, having your heart in a good, solid place no matter what you're in the middle of, what it looks like, and what folks are thinking. That you know who you are because you know who He is, and this thing is solid. You're not focused on, you got nothing to prove, you're not taking a test pass fail. Come on. I know Christians live so under pressure because of that stuff. My point is this, when you have an experience that dramatic, because I stood up off the couch and started walking through my living room like you just saw me a while ago, freaked out, just Jesus, and I was, he just came and healed my knee. I'm talking, yeah, whoa. When you carry that kind of revelation and memory and experience, and then you got something that doesn't even seem as bad, and yet it hasn't gone away, boop, 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 you know, it just wants to tilt this thing if you're not established in what I'm saying. Now, I know I've camped a long time on this one point, but it won't leave me. It feels so important in my heart. And I'd rather sound redundant to a few of you and reach a handful of hearts tonight. Look, your reason for being, your reason for being a Christian. Oh, I'm just going to say this, Jason. It can't be for you. You're not a Christian for your sake. Get that out of your head. Don't let anybody preach that to you and believe it. Don't believe it. You're not a Christian for you. You're a Christian for your created value to be fulfilled, for His image, for destiny. You're a Christian for love. You're a Christian for His name. And for others. You are not a Christian for you. It's so easily proven in Scripture. Matthew 16 says that if any man come after me, if any man come to me, we've turned it into pray this prayer so you can go to heaven. Pray this prayer to get something from the Lord. Come on. That's not what Jesus said. He said, if any man come after me, deny himself. Why? It's the biggest hang-up and problem on the earth. Man living for himself when he was created for God's image. Come on! The biggest stumbling block to humanity is waking up and thinking it's all about you. It's all about Him in you. Let us make man in our image and in the likeness of God, He made man. Verse 26, verse 27, Genesis 1. He talked about it in 26. He did it in 27. So in 27, I find where I came from. The heart and will and purpose of God. My life is the will of God. He made me for His image and likeness. Man made a decision apart from God, apart from His wisdom, sinned and separated himself from the image of God, from the nature of God, from the Spirit of God, from relationship with God, took on the nature of God's enemy, and every man from that day was born into that lie, and you must be born again. Somehow we've turned that into a prayer to receive blessings instead of a faith that brings transformation. A whole new reason for being. Putting off the old, putting on the new. Denying ourselves. Whoa, I get it, Lord. I was made for your image. But Adam sinned and the image died. So I was born into Adam. I'm to be born into Christ, into you. You're to be my father. Not this. Man, I put this off. I don't want to drive the car. I don't want to rule the roost. I don't want to be in control. You're the Lord God. I want you in me working effectually to reveal who you are and the glory of who you are in my created value. Every reason for being, I want to be found in you and through you. God, I give myself to you. And in doing so, I give up the right to be angry, offended, judgmental, condemning, prideful, competitive. Because it's not about me anymore. I'm finally feeling free here. Come on, if it's about you, you're in bondage till the day you die. Found in self-centered thinking. So Jesus has the answer. Hey guys, don't just come to me and say you're sorry for sin. Deny yourself. Biggest problem on the planet. See, I used to think you were my problem. I think, man, if God would just tweak you a little, life would be better. Come on, man. Isn't that how we pray in the church if we're not careful? We wake up in the morning and we're struggling at work and our boss is acting like not Christian. And we're like, Lord, why do you let me go through this all the time? Lord, I'm so tired of working there. Where's your grace in my life? You need to change my boss. God, I need another job. I want a Christian job. What kind of prayer is that? It is a self-centered complaint session. It doesn't even pass through the drop ceiling on your... It doesn't. Come on, we've learned to pray this way. We've heard the gospel this way. Somehow, at large, we've gotten the vague idea that it's all about us getting something from God instead of giving up something to become more like Him. Now, here's the key. The only thing He's asking you to give is what you never were in the first place anyway. So everything we came became through the lie, He's saying lay down. Everything you were born into in Adam, He's saying give it up so you'd be born in me. So the only thing He's asking you to give is what you never were anyway. You never were made for you. You were made for His image. So give you up so you can get His image. Come on, this thing is so simple. It's called born again. And then you go to water baptism and you go down there to die. Death, burial, resurrection. Woo! Come on! You're going to die to everything you ever were, everything that ever was, everything that ever happened to you. It's not about your past. It's about your present and your future. I'm not being mean right now. It's not about your mom or dad not being there for you. It's about Christ dying for you. It's not about how it was growing up. It's about who He is now. He has come and He is here and you're in Him and He's in you. So I'm going to die to all that other stuff. Yeah, and I'm going to come up into Him. And I'm literally making a faith statement that nothing before you matters anymore, God. No matter how it's tried to affect me, influence me, control my thinking, my emotions, I'm surrendering it all to you. I'm calling it all dead. If you need a good pastor to do it. I'll hold you till every bubble stops. It works, man. And if you wait about 40 seconds after that last convulsion, you got them, man. They're dead. And then you rip them out in faith and it's new life. In Christ. So we're having a baptismal tomorrow. So I was talking like that and I was being real serious and I was in Upper Pennsylvania and we had a spontaneous baptism. The pastor said, hey, we have a baptismal right there, Dan. Is it in your heart? I said, it's in my heart. We ended up baptizing like 17 people upstairs in the balcony in this baptismal and we had a mic and they're crying and things were happening. It was fun. this young guy comes, he's coming across, man. He's another taker, you know. I'm giving my life. Isn't that a beautiful baptism?
Yes.
He's not like, well, if I die tonight, make sure I go to heaven. No, I want to die tonight so I can finally live for one day in my life. I'm ready to get in the water and make a statement. I'm dying so I can finally live. Because unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. But if it dies and falls to the ground, it'll spring up and bear much fruit. If the seed never dies and falls to the ground, it's just always about the seed and it'll never become what it could be. And at the end of its journey, it's still just a seed. But if it would die, fall to the ground, it'll spring up. Woo! Did you get that? Come on, it's all through your Bible. If any man come after me, if any man, any man. What man? We're all invited. So who's willing to die? The question is in Christianity, who's really willing to die? I'm not being mean right now. Do we want blessings or do we want to die to live? Do we just want favor and breakthrough? Do we just want a better job and our bills paid? Or do we want His nature and the transforming power of His grace that makes us think like Him, look like Him, and act like Him in the face of it all? That's what carrying your cross means, church. It means living through life and never letting life decide who you are, letting the life in you decide that. Letting Christ define you. You're going to carry your cross through every injustice and every unfairness. Never let sin against you produce sin in you or give you the right for sin. You're going to overcome evil with good. Never repay evil for evil. You're going to tone down a harsh word with a kind word. We're going to follow Him. We're going to deny ourselves. We're going to pick up our cross. And we're going to follow Him. That's Christianity. And it's a lot of fun. I'm 20 years into this thing in June. You can tell I'm excited about it. I'm either a real good actor, or I'm excited. I got my chips on excited. But one day we'll find out when we all stand before Him. But all my chips are unexcited. I don't think I revved myself up to impress you tonight. I think I'm impressed with Him. I think He's the way, the truth, and the life. So I think I'm going to follow Him. I just pray to Him for things to change and people to change. I want change. People come to me, pray for me so my spouse comes home and say, maybe we got a better idea. Let's pray that Christ gets formed in you first. Let's just pray that you focus on you and Him right now. Because if your spouse comes home, you might not have enough God to even impart to them, and it might not change anything about how things look at home. You might just have the false sense of security that they're home. I think it would be better to get it so filled with God in your marriage that God will look at your spouse and see, hey, I really got something to draw them back to. Said, hey, you got to bring my spouse home. Hey, just form yourself in me. And I trust my marriage with you, but make me the best man of God you've called me to be, sincere and humble and shining bright. You women could pray the same thing. You don't pray for your spouse because you're hurting. Because of them. You pray for your spouse because you're hurting for them.
Yes.
Do you know how many spouses today prayed today for their marriage because they're in pain instead of full of mercy and tears that say, if my spouse really knew who they were, they wouldn't be living this way. They're stepping all over their creative value, their destiny, God. They're living in deceit. Would you have mercy on my spouse, God? But the reason we're not praying that way is because we're trying to draw ourselves from one another. Instead of draw ourselves from Him. Because when I know who I am through Him, I never have to look to you to find me. I found myself in Him. Come on, be real with me. So can you still encourage me? Absolutely. Is it scriptural? You better believe it. But what's not scriptural is that I need you to be secure. That's a rat race. And you're only as strong as people are seeing you in the moment. And that is subject to change when their eyes change. Eh.
I'd rather be more rock solid than that. I'd rather learn who I am through Him so I get a good, clear look at you.
You guys follow me? Come on, this is freedom. The stuff I'm teaching right now is total freedom. That's why I'm no longer a slave to fear. Did I turn you to Philippians 1? It's awesome.
I'm getting there a lot sooner than I normally do. I'm known for this stuff. I'll turn to a scripture and preach for an hour and a half and never go back there. And then I'll say, read it when you get a chance. It's awesome. No, it's just funny. The Word of God, heaven and earth. Jason, heaven and earth is going to pass away. It's going to fade away. What remains forever? So when you open the Word, it's always the same. Life changes, circumstances changes, emotions try to get crazy. Why don't we just keep looking back to that Word? Why don't we just keep looking back to that Word? Well, I just don't feel loved by God. Stop. What is that? That's a rampant emotion in the moment. What do you mean you don't feel loved by God? You are loved by God. Because Christ died. Come on, that's enough. Well, yeah, but I want to feel His love. That's the biggest detriment of your life. You're going to stay sensual your whole life. You're only going to live as good as you feel. And as soon as you don't feel good, you think you're not. Wow. It's when you're not believing good that you're not good. Right. The greatest strength you can have in your life is believe God before anything else. Yeah. Come on, it's the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for them that believe. Not feel. Right. So I don't feel loved. That's the problem. We're not called to feel loved. We're called to know He loves us through the truth. Yeah. So how do I know? Christ died and rose again, and I believe it in my heart. Now I'm not trying to believe. It's not a blind faith. I just know that I know. He loves me. It's important, guys. You get rooted and grounded in love, and faith works through. So if love's always in question and circumstances defined as love, then we're always in a quandary. So we don't even have faith. We just have desperation. And that's where fear's alive. But I don't have fear because I'm a child of God. Do you get it? So if I'm a child of God, it means I understand He loves me in the midst of it all. So when I wrench my knee in the rock, does it have anything to do with God loving me or not loving me in the moment? Does it have anything to do with the mysterious theological surroundings of why and how? No, it was just a hill. It was a rock under the snow. My foot went in it and it happened. Thank God for the gospel. Hello? Come on, guys. This stuff is so simple to me. I want to preach it as simple as possible. Because unless we become like little children, we won't inherit the kingdom of God. That means we won't walk in and experience what's available. Come on. We're going to read just Philippians 1. I'm not trying to joke right now. We are. But I got to say this quick. What would it accomplish in us if we just settle something so simple through the truth of God's Word, that God so loved that He gave His Son, He loves me, or Christ wouldn't have came? How many countless people over the years have said, well, I can't believe God loves me because all this stuff's happening all at the same time. Where's God's love for me? Or talking to Him in the car, laid off, spouse, hanging on the fringe, cars sputtering at the intersection, and it's all falling apart at the same time. Come on.
God, I just know that what I did wrong, I don't know what's going on. I thought You loved me.
Do you know how perilous that place is right there? Because faith works through love. You're to be rooted and grounded in love. You've just allowed love to be defined by all those circumstances instead of the truth that Christ came, died, and rose again. So now you can't see clear, and you're in bondage to fear because you don't understand you're a child of God. That's how simple this thing is. I'm just painting it reverse. You guys get that? Come on, man. There would be so much less. Did you ever see this one? Wake up in the morning. Oh, God. Feels like it's going to be one of them days. Because we have a history of days. So this one's stereotyped because we've been in this one before. Oh, it's going to be one of them days. Probably better call for some prayer. And all of a sudden, we're just ministry-crazed people, and we think that the answer is getting prayed for about everything instead of getting a revelation, understanding, and a truth of why we're on the planet in this day and what it could look like in Him. So when you wake up and you say, oh boy, it's going to be one of them days, what's that mean? That means I'm very self-conscious, self-focused, and feeling-oriented. Am I allowing my emotions to determine the outcome? I need prayer. Prayer's not going to change a thing because you're going to live that way every day until you change that. I'm just being real. Is this all right? Come on, we're praying about a lot of stuff, but
A lot of it's ministry crazed, ministry mind. We're trying to get something from praying for one another that we can only get through knowing Him. Yeah. Truth makes you free, not ministry. He who continues in my word, not his feelings, not the moment, not his emotions, and not his friend's opinion. He who continues in my is my disciple indeed. You know what a disciple means? Disciplined learner, wholehearted follower. He said, go make disciplined learners and wholehearted followers of every nation. He didn't say make confessing Christians that are praying for a blessing. Because I'm telling you, they'll live like that and be powerless. Come on. You'll ride the wave. You'll live from moment to moment. You'll live from highs to lows. Actually, I saw it years ago. You won't live like the bride. You'll live like concubines. Wow. And you'll find your identity through doing things for the Lord and hope to brush against Him now and then. Wow. Instead of be with Him. Yeah. Come on. A concubine serves the Lord, just does things for the Lord, and every once in a while, the king calls him into his chamber, and they spend a night with the king and rub against the glory of the king. Do you know how many people live like that? Doing things for the Lord and hoping to encounter Him now and then. It's a concubine mentality.
Time to be His bride. You belong in the bed.
I used to struggle when I first started traveling because I'd sleep on a couch, man. I don't need, honor to me isn't giving me a king bed. For some it might be, I'm not judging that. For me, honor isn't sleeping on a king bed. It feels like a waste actually to me. I'm thinking, man, save the church's money and just put me in somebody's spare room on a couch. It's just better that way to me. But I got over that because I thought, you know what, I'm sleeping with the king, I'll just get in the king bed. So it's simple. So you crawl in. I mean, it's just, they're so big. You wake up and say, Jesus! Jesus! Oh! It's like, they're just big, man. You do, you sleep with Him. It's a spiritual concept. It's not a weird, flaky thing. Don't think in the flesh when I'm talking like that. You come together with Him. The seed of God comes into you and impregnates you with His will. Everything you give birth to looks like its Father. Yeah. That's called prayer, intercession, communion. God encounters like through fellowship and relationship, not God encounters that are perversion that's just making you feel accepted or, oh, He still loves me, He touched me. Right. Come on. No, I'm talking about intimacy with God, coming alone. I mean, you guys learned this in this church. When two people are married and they're coming together, people get pregnant. You guys are learning that in this church. Something happens in this church when people come together. Miss Tina. Shoo! Well, it's the same way with God. You come together with Him and you get pregnant. You see, you should have heard how Holy Spirit, I'd never read a book on intercession prayer or nothing. I was saved a couple months reading my Bible and I was getting this stuff out of my Bible. Like Holy Spirit was zeroing me in on stuff and it was like, and then you'd share it with people. I had to be careful who I shared stuff with. They're like, what book are you reading? I'm reading the Word of God, man. I'm coming into the secret place, the holy place of God, through the sprinkling of blood, through the veil of His flesh, into His presence. And I'm seeing a married couple coming together, veil of flesh, sprinkling of blood. Cutting covenant, holy, intimate oneness. I'm seeing that language in the Spirit. So guess what? I started praying. Stuff like this. This is personal bedroom stuff. Father, I open myself up to You. I just say, here I am, Lord, come into me. Let the seed of who You are impregnate me and fill me and flood me so that everything I give birth to looks just like You, looks just like its Father. Come, Lord God, and multiply the beauty of who You are through my life. It wasn't bless me. Make me more like You. It wasn't give me a raise. I'm not against you praying for that if you need more money. But man, make sure that if the more money isn't coming, you should have a great disposition and people can tell you're a Christian. Or you're needing more money is an idolatry. And it's determining your disposition, and it's probably a target for the enemy, and it'll keep you in derision the rest of your life, and you'll wonder what you're doing wrong. It's probably your motive. The pure in heart shall see God. You ask and you have not because you ask amiss your own desire. Come on. I don't know how I got on this stuff. Duh. I tell the Lord, I always want to preach something happy, but to me, this is happy. Because if it gets you free from you, it's happy. Amen? Come on, we've lived enough days deceived. Feeling down and out, making it all about me. See, He loves us and stuff, but it's all about Him in me. And somebody wrote me once and they said, I don't understand the personal love of this. It sounds like God just loves Himself. He just loves everything about Himself and me. I said, yeah, because He made us to be one. He can't see us apart. Like He made us one. He made Him and Adam were one. In the beginning, when He breathed into him, man became a living being. He was all that God was in Adam. He was the Son. You get it? So God loves who He is in us. There's something beautiful about one plus one is a stronger one. He still made you unique, individual. You still have your own personality, disposition. You're still precious and unique, but you're made for Him. You're made for Him in you and through you. Anything else is a perverse use. It's a wrong use of the product. Yeah. I always say it's like putting metal in a microwave. You don't do it. Read the manufacturer's handbook. You don't put metal in a microwave. You'll ruin the product. Read the manufacturer's handbook. You don't live for yourself. Yeah. It's not good for the product. Come on. That's where all the well I feel, well I just don't feel, yeah buts come from. Come on. I was in the bathroom once and the Lord set me straight on something. I was fasting. I was trying to go into Never Never Land fasting. Everybody was fasting all this time. And I thought it was important to reach goals in time. I got caught up in some things. And so I'm going to Never Never Land and I'm just going to fast. And I was at the point I had never fasted past the point I was at. My next day would have been my longest time. And I'm in the bathroom and I'm fired up. I'm like zealous. I'm like setting a goal. If God wouldn't interrupt it, I might still be fasting. This was like 15 years ago, man. And I probably would still be fasting because I was on the goal, man. No symptoms, no weakness. I was just, I've had some incredible encounters with fasting. I've had God-inspired stuff. I have no knowledge. I don't have nutrition knowledge. I'm not schooled on all that stuff. So I don't know that running 5 miles a day and working in a warehouse lifting 10 to 12 tons a day requires a lot of fluids in your body. And for 90 days, I drank one glass of water and ate a sandwich at lunch for 90 days because the Lord told me to do that. After 90 days, I went into pastoring and didn't know I was gonna. It's impossible. I've learned that it's impossible to go 90 days on one glass of water and a sandwich. I didn't lose 1 pound. That was God ordained. God let me do that. I was in total ignorance and innocence. I wasn't trying to buck against natural knowledge and have faith to do it. I was just like, sure. And He knew I was like that. He's like, Dan, I don't want you eating anything after lunch. Just make a light sandwich, drink one glass of water. I want you to fast before me. Nothing after that. I was like, really? Yep, do it till I tell you not to. I said, okay. And every day I'm just, I'm running 5 miles a day. You sweat out about 7 or 8 of those cups. Am I being serious? You say, well, I don't believe you. I don't think you only, well, that's a problem in the church. Unbelief is a problem. But anyhow, back to the subject. So I had some experiences with fasting that were amazing. Had me do a week a month, just water, week a month for 7 months. It was fun. I had a time where He said, just shut down. No water, no food till I tell you. I'm like, really? He said, yeah. I said, okay. And I just didn't even know what I was doing, but I was just doing it. And there's just a neat place to be innocent like that. And then after 3 days, the Lord said, I want you to join your family tonight. And I said, really? Okay. I said, what's been going on? He said, I'm just getting your attention. Wanting you to live a fasted life. Want you to find a place of temperance, self-control, and live moderate in ways. And he started to minister to my heart. You get it? But on this one, I'm setting the goal. Everybody's talking about fasting 40 days. And I'm reading some books where people were fasting 60 and 80 days. And I'm thinking, whoa. And they're saying all their experiences and encounters. And so I'm in the bathroom. And the Lord said, I was brushing my teeth before bed. And the Lord said, if you fast past today, it's for nothing. I said, what? Because I'm ramped up, man. I'm going for the goal. And I don't even know where the goal is. I just know it's out there. It's way out there. And I'm on it, man. I'm in the fasting marathon. And he said, if you fast past today, it's for nothing. I said, Lord, what do you mean? Man. He said, Dan, you've lost total sight of what you're doing and why you're fasting. He said, you're trying to reach a point in time. And you've missed the whole reason why. He said, so break your fast. I said, but Lord, he said, the fact that you'd butt me says it all. See, because he knows how to father us and talk to us. The fact that I yell butted the Lord, like, Lord, don't you need to consider a few things here? I don't think you're seeing clear. A yell butt to the Lord is like, excuse me, Lord, you haven't looked at all the angles? It's you instructing him. Yell butting him is you instructing him. What you're saying is you're thinking of something he hasn't considered. You're suggesting he hasn't thought about what you're ready to say. Be real with me. Yeah, but Lord. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have that conversation and talk out your own soul, but I was like, but Lord, I was like going to like change his mind. And because I have this relationship with him that I always ask him to father me, and that I have more of a confidence in him to keep me than me to miss it. You're amazing. You're going to love me through it all, God. The weakness of my flesh will never be greater than the strength of your spirit in my life because I yield to you. I trust you. Father me. When you talk to God like that, it's not presumption to believe that he'll keep you before you have the ability to miss it and never see it. Because he's a good God. And when he said that yeah, but thing, it revealed to me that I was just seeking a point in time. And he humbled me in like a moment, like, duh, which revealed that I was getting so geared up in this thing that I was crossing a line and making it about me and what I was accomplishing. So I went and laid on my bed and cried. And the reason I cried wasn't because I was condemned. It's because I realized how vulnerable I am apart from the wisdom of God. I realized how much I need relationship with him. That if it wasn't for his goodness, I would make mistakes without ever wanting to. That there's a place to seek in the spirit. And I was crying and I was weeping. And I said, Lord, talk to me about this and show me what was happening here with this fasting. And here's what the Lord said. It was interesting. He said, Dan, I don't know why you would want that in your life. He said, you're trying to reach a point in time. People are fasting this, fasting that. So you're in a conversation down the road. This is how the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're in a conversation down the road or you're listening in on a conversation. And somebody in the conversation says, man, I just fasted X amount of days. And somebody says, really? Well, I just fasted this amount of days. And in your heart, you don't even say it out loud. In your heart, you say, well, I fasted. He said, why would you even want that in your life? And I just laid there and cried. And I thought, this motive stuff is a big deal. The why behind your life is huge. Because that could turn into a works. And the last thing I'm thinking is works. But it could turn into it. And next thing you know, a day, amount of days is important. Instead of knowing him. Are you guys following me? It became so strong in me. The zeal was so strong that when he told me about it, I yell-butted him. See, you don't know my relationship with him. You know your relationship with him. But for me to yell-butt him sobers me. That means I was really set on it, man, that I yell-butted the Lord. And he knew how to answer me. He said, the fact that you yell-butt me says it all. And I was mush. So see, I've got these experiences that I'm learning from, and I'm just privileged to convey them and pass them on. Here's the beautiful thing. You're the steward of your heart. God wants relationship. He said, I don't ever any longer call you servants. I call you friends. Why? Because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. That means we do. Right? The reason he doesn't call his servants, he calls his friends, is because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. Isn't that what he said in John 15? But if you flip that, then that means we do know what he's doing. And that's why we're friends. So we're in the know. Duh. Watch this. I want you to see this, and then I'm going to try to wrap this up and see where we're supposed to go. Are you guys doing okay? Are you getting anything out of this? Your motive, the why behind your life, is huge. Jason and I talked about just a little bit today. It's the first thing Holy Spirit ever taught me when I was saved. The very first thing he taught me was, if I didn't have love, I have absolutely nothing. If I don't have love, I've missed the whole point. That's so big in me. If I don't have love, I've missed the point. He said, I can have knowledge of all mysteries. I can have faith to move all mountains. Come on, be real. That's a spiritual icon in today's church. The knowledge of all mysteries is the closest thing to Jesus you've ever seen. Faith to move every mountain, we're waiting for that. He says, the man that has that and doesn't have love has nothing. He's missed the point. He makes the bar as high as it can go and says, you can have the knowledge of all mysteries. Come on, we're all thronging that individual for impartation. And God says, if you don't have love, you've missed it. Why? Because then your gift's going to become your identity. It's going to get weird and twisted, and you're going to get puffed up in pride and pop someday in the presence of the Lord or something. And you'll be insecure, and you'll need God to move through you a certain way, and you'll be more worried about how people are perceiving you than who you are in Christ, and it just gets weird. Ministry without relationship is weird. It's unscriptural. Are you guys all right? Come on. It's the first thing he taught me. He turned me to Corinthians 13, and I read, if I don't have love, I've got nothing. Man, you guys are giving to the poor. That's amazing. That's a godly principle. That's something that the early apostles told Paul and Barnabas to make sure they remember the poor. It was something that Jesus taught. And Paul said, the very thing I was willing and ready to do is remember the poor. That's all they asked, that we remember the poor. They sent us and blessed us and said that we'd remember the poor, and he said the very thing we were ready to do. The Bible says you can give all your goods to the poor, your body to be burned, and have not love, and you've got nothing. Now they have your goods, but you've got nothing. Because you're not doing it for love, you're doing it for you. You're doing it because your giving makes you feel good, qualified, sufficient, passing the test. Your giving makes you feel righteous. Whatever, it's all deception. Your giving has to come from love so that grace can come on that and keep reproducing the heart and image of God. You guys good with that? That's the first thing Holy Spirit taught me, that if I didn't have love, I've got nothing. There's a reason, and I'm not comparing me to you, and I'm not saying this to condemn anybody in this room, but when I got saved, see, I went to church till I was 20, and then I quit going. And then when I was 33, I got saved. I wasn't born again till I was 33. But I grew up in church till I was 20 and decided I was old enough to make the decision not to go, and just because mom wanted me to go, I figured I'm married, I'm 20, I'm not at home, I don't need to go. Now my wife wanted me to go because she was a Christian. 6 months before I met her, then we got together. Probably a distraction that God worked for the good. Did you ever notice people are growing in God and they're at a tender stage and they get into a relationship right at that spot? Be careful of that. Make sure you give time for Christ to get formed in you so you're not meeting a need through a person that only Christ can fill. Yeah, right. So that when you do enter into that relationship, it's out of the fullness and strength of God in your life, not the need and vulnerability. Because your I love you will quickly become I need you. Yeah. And then the person has the ability to break you or make you. And then we call it falling in and falling out of love. It's just a needs-driven life. It's an emotional roller coaster. It's all a form of idolatry. It's making something more important than knowing Him. I'm just being real, guys. Is it okay if I'm straight? Because when I met my wife, we had no business being together. We should have never got married when we got married. Can God work all things together for the good? Yeah. After our flesh produced enough pain in hell. It was really bad. And ran her out of gas and hurt her and me angry and mean and whatever. Then when I was 33, I got born again. But I'll never forget this day. I woke up in the morning praying in tongues. Ain't that something? Nobody in my room telling me I couldn't. I just woke up praying in tongues and crying. I went to bed crying. I woke up crying. I was like Jason, just crying. I did, man. I went home. I knew that night I'd never be the same. I can't explain it. I knew my life changed when He came into me. It was the first time I could ever relate to being sincere in my life. I never meant something so much. Guys, I said, if you're real and you love me, can forgive me of all these things I've done and have a plan for my life, I'm yours. I'll live for you. I had my hands raised at work and heaven came over me. And God reality impregnated my heart. And I went, and before I looked like I needed a sedative and a straitjacket. I was crying. I'm pitiful. I don't even know if you're real. And now He's real. I need two sedatives and a stronger straitjacket. I'm not kidding you. I went bonkers. I ran from here to them keys back and forth. I think I pulled my hair. I kept jumping up and down going, you're real. You're real. Ah! No! I was way worse than that. No, I'm not kidding. I can't act it out. It would offend some. I was way worse than what I'm trying to indicate. The way you see me now times it by about 20. I'd be working and I'd just go, oh, you're real. It's never fallen off of me. 20 years later, He's real. Yeah, but what about your knee? He's real. Yeah, what about my knee? See, sometimes we let the moment decide a thing. When what He's accomplished and what He's done decides that thing. But I hugged my Bible that morning. I had one in the house. I had to hunt for it. I did. I found a Bible. It was in the house. I hadn't read it for years and years and years. When I was a teenager, I was in a youth group. I used to read my Bible to preach sermons. They said, you got leadership in you. They saw something. I was laughing in my heart thinking, what do you know, leadership? I'm about as evil inside. I was going to youth group because there was girls everywhere. I'm just being real. I'm being real. I had my friends at school. I had my friends at church. So I was whatever I was with my friends at school, and I had my friends at church. It just gave me two groups of friends and a lot of fish in the pond. I'm just being real. I never prayed to God. I never asked God to touch me or fill me with His presence. Or I sang the songs. I raised my hands when I was a teenager. And they said, you've got leadership in you. You're anointed. I don't know what that means. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you guys, I don't know what you see. But they saw something. They were speaking into destiny. They didn't even probably realize it. So they started letting me teach the youth group. I had no intimacy with God. I never prayed about nothing. I just would go home and read my Bible and study cross-reference scriptures and preach. Anybody can do that and talk about Him. But you can't impart what you don't know. You can talk about God all day long. But do you know Him? And has He transformed your life? So when I realized this, the Lord was showing me this, and He's showing me about not becoming, if I don't have love, I don't have anything. And I remember hugging my Bible to my chest. And this is where I'm not trying to offend anybody or judge or condemn, but I said this. I said, because it was my experience. I said, Lord, I know You're in this book. I know who You are is in here. This is the first morning I was saved. I had just been praying in tongues. I had an encounter with my definition of manhood that was off the hook. that we crucified in the bedroom. And Jesus came on me in a special way. It was just fun. And now I'm laid on my bed and I'm hugging my Bible, crying. And I said, I don't want to be a confessing Christian that goes to church. I have got to know you. Now, I'm not saying that condemning. I'm not judging you with that. I'm just saying that was the conviction of my heart. And it wasn't good enough to go to a church service to be a part of something. I had to know him. And I cried and I said, reveal yourself to me. Show me who you are. I know you're in this book. Yeah. 3 days later, I was at work and he said, Dan, I'm going to put revelations of my love and righteousness inside of you. You're going to speak to many of my people. And I'm like, I'm working. It's the Lord. It was overwhelming. He's talking to me in sentences. And he said, however, I don't ever want you to read your Bible to preach a sermon. This is what he told me. He said, I only ever want you to read your Bible to know me. Yes. And only ever speak out of who I am in your life. Yes. And as best as I understand, I've been faithful to do that for these 20 years. You know what was funny? Never been to Bible school. I'm not saying that in a weird way. I'm just saying what's possible. You receive him when you get born again. He comes into you. You have relationship. You don't have limitations. You have him. I saw miracles at age 3 months old in the Lord. Word of knowledge at 4 months old in the Lord. And didn't even know it was in the scriptures. Word of knowledge. Hernia closed under my hand. No seam, surgery canceled, and I'm 4 months saved. I won't lay that hand on anybody tonight. 4 months saved. It's amazing. I went to a ministry school when I was 9 months old in the Lord to sit in on a session one night, and they happened to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and realized that I had experienced every single gift they talked about that night in my life, and I was 9 months saved. I was already preaching in churches. 9 months saved. I was doing Christian businessmen's meetings. Churches were inviting me in to preach, and I was 9 months saved. And all of a sudden, I got this understanding and revelation that it all works through love. And because that was my motive for being, and that's why I was a Christian, and that's why I was seeking him and praying, I wasn't praying for God to use me. I was praying for me to know him. Yeah. And in knowing him, who he is the reality in your life. And he flows through you. I was going to this public pool. We were joined that year to the public pool. I don't know that we even got a membership after that year, but we did it for a couple years with the kids when they were little. And they just knew me as the mean husband. They could tell. You hang around somebody at a pool a lot, you're going to tell that they don't have much of a relationship with their family. You know? And now they see me just loving on my kids and playing with them in the water. And they're coming up to me saying, man, what happened to you? You're so different than last summer and the summer before. In a week, I have a whole crowd around my towel every time I go to the pool. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating. I'm talking a whole crowd. And I'm pouring out my heart and weeping and sharing scripture. And we're having like Bible study at the pool. You know, but it was impartation. It was ministry. And I was 3-4 weeks old in the Lord. 3 or 4 weeks old in the Lord. And the whole towel around me was surrounded because people saw life. Why am I telling you this? Because it all came through knowing him. It all came through relationship. Never trying to be a Christian. Never trying to not sin. Never trying to live the Christian life. Just from day one, waking up, believing he loved me. From day one, waking up, believing I'm free from sin. He paid a price and it was enough and I'm free and I'm clean. I'm holy and blameless in his sight. I'm above reproach and he's for me and not against me. Man, there is no limit. You can't even say the sky's the limit. There is no limit. Have your way in me. Every day. Not waking up trying not to sin. Waking up and excited I'm free from it. See, what you put your eye on, what you focus on. Come on. He never told you to bear good fruit. He said, make the tree good. Come on. He didn't tell you to change your fruit. He said, make the tree good and the fruit will be good. See, he says a good tree can't bear bad fruit, and we hear fruit, and he's talking about tree. We judge our tree and go, oh my goodness, I can't be a good tree because there's bad fruit on me. And now we're condemned by what Jesus said. And then he says a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Now we're really confused because not everything on my tree is bad. So if a bad tree can't bear good fruit and a good tree can't bear bad fruit, what am I? Because I have both. And the whole point is he's not talking about fruit. He's talking about your identity. He's talking about who you see yourself to be. He said, so either make a tree good and its fruit's automatic. It's good. Or make a tree bad, its fruit's bad. So that's where the enemy himself works, in your belief system, your identity, and how you see yourself. And if you see yourself through the Son of God and you see yourself the way God sees you, your fruit's good, period. If you see yourself the way the enemy's trying to teach you and talk, and you get under pressure and you're every day taking a test that you can pass or fail, you probably feel like you're failing. You have to work your way to God. If you have to earn favor, you probably don't feel like you have a lot of favor. You guys follow me on this? And all of a sudden, you're trying to change your life instead of your identity in Him. See, if you make the tree good, what's that mean, Dan? It doesn't mean you trying to change the aspects of your life. It means you wake up every day with a sincere, pure heart, believing He loves you and that you're empowered by the Spirit of God for the day to make known His image. Every day you qualify. Every day you're accepted in the Beloved. Every day you're right with God. Yeah? You say, yeah, but I blew it, Dan. Yeah, so run to Him. Get off the fig leaves. Stop hiding. Come on, the days of Adam and Eve in the garden are over. It's not, oh Lord. He took their fig leaves off and put animal skins on, made with His own hands. Of course, it's the shedding of blood to make those animal skins. Of course, there's a blood atonement, but it's also the robing of righteousness. It's taking away sin consciousness. If they wear the fig leaves every day, all they're conscious of is the day they missed God and how naked they are, even though they feel outwardly covered. Their fig leaves doesn't change the consciousness of sin. But God's love restores them. He puts on animal skins and He gives them a promise. And now every day they wake up and see that they have hope in God. So from Genesis 3, God has not wanted kids to have sin consciousness. Come on. So how do you make a tree good? Get away from sin consciousness. How can you fulfill this Philippians 1? By doing that. By waking up every day understanding that I'm not trying to pass a test. You already passed it for me, Jesus. You knew no sin and you were made to be sin. Now I've become right in the sight of God. You died, I'm forever alive. You were separated from the Father on that cross, I'm forever joined. My, how You love me. Thank You for the gospel. That's You every day waking up. I'm so honored that You gave me life, Lord God. Life's not a dread. God, I thank You. You've changed me from thinking life's such a challenge. Life is a gift. Man, you ought to talk like this to the Lord in your own time. Don't just hear me talking like this. Talk like this to the Lord every day. Come on, man. Life isn't such a challenge. Life is a gift. And if God can get a hold of your perspective, He'll get a hold of your whole life and its fruit. God, life is a gift. And I got this little window to leave a legacy, to mark history for Your glory. God, I could expend my life and sow into the hearts of men, and something can grow concerning Your kingdom because a seed died and fell to the ground. Thanks for letting me spring up and bear much fruit. What an honor to be Your boy today. What an honor to walk in a disposition of humility, God, of selflessness, of love. Fill me, Holy Spirit, and flood me with revelations, God. Just let me look through Your eyes and live from Your heart all day long. Thank You, God, that in some way the expression of my life reveals Your life to someone's heart. Thank You for the gift of life through Jesus Christ. Come on, that sure beats just praying to get blessed today. Catch a break. Miss some traffic. Come on, man. Is it that late? Lord Jesus, did you worship that long? How long did you worship? Did you have that many announcements, my friend? What time did I get up here, man? It cannot be that late. I couldn't have got up here before. What time did I get up here? Are you serious? 8:20? Eternal gospel. No, no, no. I'm going to be gentle because we got 10, 2, and 7 tomorrow. I'm so excited. I tell people, man, even if you weren't here, I'd preach the gospel. I'd preach it. I'd preach to a tree, man. Tree, you're amazing. You know, you ought to wave your branches. Only let, verse 27 of Philippians 1, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. See, he's talking about your life lived, guys. This isn't some rigid commandment. This is a joy. Let your life live. Don't read the Bible in legalism. Read it in grace. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Come on. If one man died, then all died. Right? It's the gospel. The love of Christ compels me. 2 Corinthians 5:13. The love of Christ compels me. If one died, all died. So if we live because he died, then those that live ought to no longer live for themselves, but for him that died. Therefore, judge no man according to the flesh. In other words, don't see a man anymore for face value, for what he's producing or failing to produce. See every man for his destiny, his created value, and his potential for Christ. You get it? Come on, it's everywhere. Every scripture is saying this stuff through the New Testament when you understand the foundation of why God sent his son. God did not send his son to take you and me to heaven. God sent his son to put heaven back into you and me. Come on, that's not a play on words. That's a dramatic difference. He did not send his son because we were a bunch of sinners. He sent his son because our created value was lost and destiny was lost through sin. So he had to die because we sinned, but he died because our lives are worth restoring. Hello? My whole life, Jesus died on the cross because we're sinners. No, he came to save that which was lost. Not who, that. My destiny, my calling, my created value, my purpose, God's intention. He died to restore what I was created to be. He didn't die because I'm a sinner. He had to die because I sinned. But he died because I have great value to the purpose and plan of God. Come on, nobody pays a high, ridiculous price for nothing. Would you pay $20,000 for a $10,000 car? Why? Why wouldn't you pay $20,000 for a $10,000 car? It's not worth it. That's pretty simple, huh? But he shed the blood of his son for you. What's that make you worth? His life? His destiny? His purpose? Come on, man! That's how easy it is to settle the love of God. He shed his blood! He was made to be what I was so I could become what he is. A son! Ah! See, what's wrong with me? I'm serious. It's the gospel. It's good news. It's good news. It's not an Easter story. It's not a Christmas story. It's not stale. It's not theology. It's life. It's in Christ. Come on, man. We were created by God to be something. And when that was lost, God didn't shipwreck the whole thing. He didn't scrap it and throw it away. He did what was necessary to right that thing. Look, I say it like a sin evicted him from his home. You and me. So he dealt with the problem himself so he could move back in. I was a house fit for a king, Jason, and didn't even know it. Prime real estate. A realtor walking God through the earth. Cattle on 1,000 hills. He can put a big castle in the sky and you from the north, south, east, and west could all see it at once and raise your children. That's where God lives. He could do that. Instead, he wants to come and live inside of you so people look at you and see him. Yes. Yes. He doesn't want people to say, whoa. That's where God lives. He wants people to look at you, your attitude, your disposition, your motives and purpose in life, your everyday workplace. He wants people to look at you and go, whoa. That's where God lives. Yeah. Not, whoa, they go to church. Whoa, that's where God lives. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or are absent, I hear of your affairs, that you stand in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel, guys, it doesn't mean believing for a new car. The faith of the gospel is contending to stay true and stand in everything He accomplished and made you to be now that He's come. It's the armor you wear. The faith of the gospel is what we've become now that He came. And never letting life change that. Come on, the faith of the gospel. That's why we can all have one mind, one spirit. Come on, there's so much diversity in this room. Just in the front row, there's a ton of diversity of giftings, callings, and anointing. Am I right? Just on the front row going across here. There's so much diversity in this room. It's incredible. So how can He say be of one mind and one spirit when we're full of all this diversity? Because in the diversity, we find true unity because we do what we're called to do all for the same reason, His love and His image. You don't do it for your name, for ministry, for identity. You do it for love and His image. You get it? Come on. So every one of us, whether you have missions on your heart, the elderly, the homeless, or the poor, children or worship, no matter what's burning in you, we can all wake up for the same reason, His image and to love. And do what you're called to do from that place. It makes us one. Do you get it? And watch this. I just preached all this stuff just because we sang that song. I was like, song just got me. Do you know you'd sing that song all day and not understand what you're singing and still be succumbed by fear? And then you could start questioning, well, I mustn't be a child of God. And the analytical thing will kick in. Well, if I'm not free from fear, I mustn't be a child of God. Ah! No, flip it. It's the other way. Seeing you're the child of God and understanding why is what takes away the fear. Look at this. One mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Fight the good fight of faith, the faith, faith of the gospel. Those phrases are all through the New Testament. It's all talking about the finished purpose of Christ. Paul said, I'm going to lay a hold of that which He laid a hold of me for. He bought you with intention. Yeah. Whoa! And Paul's saying, I have not apprehended that thing, but I'm going to forget what lies behind and I'm going to reach to what's in front of me and I'm going to obtain that which He obtained me for. He's saying, I realize there's a reason He bought me and I'm going to fulfill it. Whoa. Now watch. And not in any way terrified by your adversary. To him, it's proof of his destruction, but to you, of your salvation and that from the Lord. Did you see that? You not being terrified by your adversary is evidence to him that he's coming to nothing, and it's proof to you that you understand why you're saved. Did you see it? It's right there in Philippians 1. Philippians 2 tells you to have the same mind in you that was also in Christ. It tells you to not consider your own interest, but the interest of others, and not to think of yourself more highly than others. And it says that we're to have the same mind in us that was also in Christ Jesus, who coming as a son, being found in the form of God, didn't consider it something to be held on to or acknowledged for, but laid down himself and made himself of no reputation. Come on, you and I, be real. We've sought reputation our whole lives, certainly before Christ and sometimes after Christ. What was the mind in him? He made himself of no reputation so he could lay down his life in love, become a bondservant to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name it'll ever be named. You guys know the scripture. And then it says, don't you obey just in my presence only, but also in my absence. Why? Because it's God. This is Philippians 2. God working in you, both to will and do for his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, right? For it's God who worketh in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Therefore, do all things. How many things? Therefore, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Why? So that you can be seen as harmless, innocent children in the midst of a perverse generation. So you can be seen for what you've become. And it's so different than what you were. Yes. Come on. Why are you going to do all things without grumbling and complaining? So you can be seen as innocent, harmless children in the midst of a perverse generation whom shining forth as lights, you hold forth the word of life. Do you get it?
So you're a Christian to reveal him, not be blessed by him. You're a Christian to make him known to everyone around you at whatever level is possible. Doesn't mean you evangelize everybody in that way. It means your life evangelizes. Love is evangelistic. Just your attitudes are evangelistic. Your nature's evangelistic. So you do all things without what? Grumbling and complaining. Why? So you're seen for what you've become. A selfless person that's alive for one reason. The image of God. So that men might see and know that he's the Lord. Come on, guys. That would take away fear, wouldn't it? That would take away me, myself, and I. You say, Dan, but you don't understand what I'm going through. No, you've allowed that one sentence to push away everything I'm crying out. What about what he's went through to change your whole perspective so that you respond in your trials and look more like Jesus? So that the things that are unfair coming against you, you start revealing the truth back into that place. So that when people do you wrong, mercy triumphs over judgment. And love covers a multitude of sin. Come on, if it's just about what you're going through, we're already sunk. The ship is sunk. It's about what he went through. Yeah. The truth about you isn't found in what you're going through. Right. The truth about you is found in what he went through. Right. So that you can finally find who you are in him and face your life from that place. Yeah. And handle every challenge and every circumstance from that truth. Are you following me? And you always have joy and always have zeal in your heart. And I went till 10 o'clock. Is that a problem? Okay, because that's not really late for me. It's not. I mean, I figure you fly the whole way here, you ought to preach a little. it's just the way I think. I really get excited them churches that start at 6. I just found out in New York the reason they do that is to quit earlier to get home. So 6 o'clock. He said, now listen, the pastor said, we are starting at 6 tomorrow because a lot of you worked all week and stuff, and we're going to be getting up, and some of you have churches you go to, and I know your vision is that way. You won't get out as late, and you have to travel home, so morning won't come so quick. And I'm sitting there just devastated. That's a joke. I got up, and I said, Pastor, you just burst my bubble, man. I said, all these years I've been preaching, and people make it at 6. I thought it was to give me an extra hour. And you just told me the reason they do 6 is to get people home an hour earlier? I've blown that thing my whole life in Christ. Blown it. 6 o'clock is so we can get home an hour earlier? I have never fulfilled that desire. So now every time they do 6, I'm going to get convicted and I'm going to feel like I have to quit an hour early. So we might as well just do 7. Did I tell you my knee got healed? Why don't we do this in closing? First, I want to pray something over you. I'm not going to do an altar call for this, but your altar is your heart before the Lord, guys. Get real used to learning to live with your own conscience before the Lord. There's zero such thing as secrets, living inside your own heart and mind. The Lord is everywhere all the time, and he loves you. I'm not saying that to scare you or freak you out. There is no such thing as secrets. Paul said everything that's in secret will be revealed. Why? Because there's no secrets. Come on! Now there's a secret place. And that's just your heart before him, your motives before him. Like nobody knows you like you. Except for him. You follow me? So in light of what I said tonight, I know I didn't preach a real bless me message at all. It was a become like him message, a transformation message. This gospel's never been about blessings. It's been about transformation. If you look at it, it's always been about born again. Born again. Think about it. As if you never lived before. Born again. So get sincere in your own heart with that tonight. Man, I cried it out with a passion on purpose. I feel like it was the Lord. We're singing a song, I'm no longer a slave to fear because I'm a child of God. Man, let's understand exactly what we're singing. Fear has no place in my life because I didn't wake up for me today, so you ain't got no power over me. The way we overcome the evil one that accuses us day and night is the blood, the word of our testimony, and we love not our own life unto death. How are you going to touch that? How are you going to kill somebody that never dies or is already dead? Come on. We got to grow into this stuff, church. We got to stop praying because of the fear of death. We just pray because of sentiment and empathy, and we pray that
so people don't die. No, you pray because of the promise of life. You pray for the fulfillment of God's will and destiny and His great love for individuals. Amen. You don't pray because of the fear of death. You pray because of the promise of life, the gift of life through Jesus Christ. You don't say, oh no, Sally might die. Let's all fast and pray. No, Sally's promised life. Let's pray because of the promise, not the problem. Let's get this thing motivated right so faith can work through love instead of fear through desperation. Come on, we prayed enough prayers of fear and watched our loved ones die over and over. I'm being real. We've all done it. And then we question God's word and say, well, God can't mean what He says because we prayed and they didn't live. Well, I just wonder how much we pray from the place that He talks about. I wonder how much we become a product of the problem and the circumstance, and then we pray from that position. Come on, if I pray to God from a man with a hurting knee, I'm probably missing the point. I pray from a place of covenant in Him, and I already have life through Jesus Christ. And if I let my knee decide who He is in my life, I'll never let who He is in my life decide my knee. So I don't lose a step in the moment, and I don't let days change my mind. Time doesn't change this thing because there's no turning or shifting a shadow in Him. Are you guys following me? You say, yeah, but I prayed. It's not a method. It's a relationship. Yeah, but I tried that. It's not a method. It's not 30-day money-back guarantee, 60-day. Try me. See if you like me. It's the just live by faith. And faith is the position of your heart before Him. You follow me? Yeah. Did I ever tell you I love you? Did I ever tell you I appreciate you? I really do. You're a blessing, Mr. Jeff. Yeah. Yeah, you can just do whatever you do, man. So I don't know what we're doing right now. You touch them keys, I'm like... have me scratching fleas. No, my knee got healed. I told you that. We probably ought to pray for the sick. We probably ought to just do it in a real simple, kind of quick way, but yet powerful and effective because His love's in the room. But here's what I want you to do before we pray for the sick. Purpose in your heart to grow in what I preach tonight and to seek God on this stuff. And if you feel like in your heart you need to make some adjustments, then just let them be made while you're sitting there. Don't say, boy, I got a long way to go. No, you got somewhere to go. Like, God doesn't inspire a man to preach the things I preach tonight to show you where you're not. He does it to show you where you're called. He's life-giving. He's not troubleshooting. Are you following me? So in the light, darkness is exposed. But in the light, darkness is to be removed. So you're sitting there, you know your own heart. You know your motivations. You could be saying, man, I've really been a Christian for me. I let a lot of things bother me. I get mad at folks, I this and that. Lord, I need an adjustment on my perspective and the reason for being. No wonder it's been a struggle, man. I haven't really denied myself or got alone with You and just said, I'm Yours here. Man, this is not about me. It's about You in me and You through me. You know? You folks that are here from that ministry with Daniel and Colony. Is that it?
Whew, I nailed it. I had to listen. I cheated. I did. I was like, Holy Spirit, help me.
But I got it, didn't I?
Sure. He knows you.
Who's with the ministry? Who came with them? Bunch of you guys. Look at all. Yeah. Now listen, I can't tell you, and this is not hype, I can't tell you how much I'm proud of you for being a part of this and believing there's new life, believing there's hope. But I'm gonna do my best to do you a favor as a friend. Man, don't be in a program like this just to get a broken thing fixed. Learn to think different and find out who you really are from the beginning. And let that truth absolutely wash away every mistake, everything. God has a way of doing that even where people are concerned in mending right wrongs and making things right. But I'm talking about your identity, your purpose, your reason for being. Man, in a lot of us, in the lives we lived, in the lifestyle we lived, we scammed, we lived at the expense of one another. We were in survival mode and weren't even doing well with that. Be real. And the people that we cling to for seasons is because we got from them what we needed to keep on going. And they're the ones we say we love. But man, you let that thing cut off for a little, and now we don't even know what love is. We're just angry and desperate and mad. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying to you guys, man, I couldn't be more proud of you guys. And Daniel, your heart, when you brought that baby over, it ain't this amazing? And your heart, I saw your heart. I was just so touched by your heart. Because he's all about seeing people restored. It's not about building a ministry. It's seeing lives restored. So not just an individual, but a family. So that did me, man, that did my heart good when you carried that little baby over here. I just said, oh, I like that guy. He's just so sincere. And he's like, ain't this awesome? I'm like, ah. I'm going to preach. I'm just going to cry. Carrying a little tiny baby. Mama's somewhere. And listen, this thing is all about stepping into why we're alive. And I found it in Genesis 1. I found why we're alive in Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image. And in the image and likeness of God, he made man. So right there we find why we're here. The reason we're here is for his image. So when man failed to walk in that image and lost that image through sin, Jesus came and took away the sin so the image could come back. So we could walk in him again. It's called born again. We're not in this thing for what he can do for us. We're in this thing for how he can change us and make us more like him. So I commend you all. Do justice to the heart of God and the heart of these two. They're not asking me to say this. They're probably squirming when I'm saying this because they love you, so they don't feel like you owe them anything. But man, don't miss the sincere love that I saw in his heart, and I'm sure it's in your heart because you're one. Let this thing be about restoring your purpose, your reason for being, and your destiny. Not just fixing broke things. Man, I'm telling you, there's new life through Jesus Christ. And I commend you all. Don't grow weary in well-doing. And you stay fixed and focused and run well, all of you, okay? I just bless you, and I bless your ministry, man. And I just pray God's grace and wisdom upon you. There's a ministry like this back home, and I go to them kind of ministries a lot because I love it. Because people that really made a lot of mistakes, they feel, and facts would say they did, actually believe there's hope and restoration through Christ. And I get to go and share what that means and why. I go to one once a month. No matter how much I travel, since 2000, it's 2015, I've gone once a month, every month, for 15 years. They call me Happy Dan there. I'm still trying to figure that out, but it's a girls' ministry. I go in there and they see me sitting back there and they squeal and get excited because Happy Dan's here. You know why? Not because they idolize me. Because I bring them good news. Because I don't drive up on the hill for an honorarium. I drive up on the hill because they're there. And they have destiny. I give a whole lot to that ministry. I sow into that ministry. I don't ask anything from them. I go there because the girls are there. And to God the Father, they're worth the blood of Jesus. To God the Father, you're worth the blood of Jesus. So don't be stereotyped. You're not this, you're not that. You've been destined to be the children of God from the beginning, and you're figuring that out. So let that be the strength of who you are and live that thing. Amen? You follow me? So I'm going to pray something real quick, and I eat time. It's his fault. It's the Jeff you gave me, Lord. He keeps me going when he touches them keys. It's like pool cord doll. I'm just going to pray something over the group as a whole. What you do with what I cried out tonight, it's between you, your conscience, and Jesus. Amen? Be a good steward of his word. Be a good steward of his purpose. Learn to get in agreement with God and walk with God. That's the place you find grace. Grace doesn't permit you to stay the same. Grace empowers you to change. You don't say, boy, I really blew up on my spouse today. Thank God for grace. It's grace that keeps you from blowing up on your spouse. Grace was never intended to allow you to keep on being the same. Grace is God's empowerment for change. When you see that you're called to that and you know you can't work it up and you can't accomplish it in your own strength, but you surely desire it, that's when grace comes to make your faith your reality. And when you get alone and believe you can become love and that God's willing to transform your heart, when you believe you can actually live in a place where you're free from anger and frustration and pride and judgment, and you actually declare that and put off those things and don't believe that's who you have to be and start thanking God and putting on the new man who's created in Christ, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, you start putting that off and putting that on, grace will come and make what you believe is possible, possible. And all of a sudden, you just won't be striving and struggling anymore. And you'll go through something that you knew 2 months ago you'd have been irate and you weren't even challenged. And now you'll cry all the more because you'll know He's changed you. And you'll just be all the more in love. And it's really fun to live that way. Amen? So, Father, I thank You for this house. I thank You for the Word tonight. And I just thank You for the things imparted. And I'm just asking for the strength of Your image, the strength of Your purpose, and the strength of Your motive to be the strength of our lives. Lord God, let our lives find consistency every day. Let us not live in an up and down place. Let's stop believing that it has to be that way. Let the days of the righteous grow brighter and brighter. Lord God, I just thank You from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Increase more and more, Lord. A steadfast place, a solid place. I'm praying, Lord God, that we would find a grace in Your sight that would put us in a solid place through understanding, through true purpose, God, through a true reason for being, and that we would lay hold of that which You laid a hold of us for. So we're going to forget what lies behind. Let us find grace, Lord God, to forget what lies behind. It's not our story. Your story's come. And it starts right here. And I thank You, Lord God, that tomorrow doesn't ever have to be yesterday. That today is a brand new day in You. I say this all the time, guys. The Lord showed me this a long time ago. How people are always looking back and always looking back. And I say it's a strange thing. I said it's Lot's wife that looked back. And Jesus said not to do it. Remember Lot's wife. And the truth is we're not Lot's wife. We're His wife. So let's stop looking back. We're not Lot's wife. Let's look up from whence came our help. We're His wife. So, Father, I pray great grace on this house. Grace to run well and stay consistent. Mark the hearts of men with something real and something true. Let our lives carry the weight of influence. Let us understand that influence, God, and let it bring humility to our hearts and honor that we would make You known just through our lives lived. In an everyday, simple, daily way, let our lives affect people for Your glory. I ask it, Lord God. I ask that peace would remain in this house and in the houses that are represented here, that we would be peacemakers, Lord God. Not issue-oriented or issue-driven. I pray that peace would be found in the house of God. I pray for quick resolve in things. I pray that the sun would never go down on wrath. And I pray that we would never give place to the enemy. Lord God, let us be a peacemaking people, for peacemakers are the sons of God. I just pray that grace, and I just thank You for the momentum, and I thank You for the fulfillment of all that You desire. Man, don't let this thing ever be about what we want. Let it be about what You desire, Lord. And we give ourselves to that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Real quick, let's do this. I know I got late. I'm sorry. I mean, it's a weird thing to say I'm sorry, because I'm not, but I am. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be late. I just, yeah. You do know, don't you? Yeah. I was in a church a while back. I preached to 11 o'clock and never blinked. I looked, I almost fell over. I almost needed raised from the dead. I said, is that the time? It was right above the sound booth. It was a clock. It looked like a full moon. I didn't see it the whole night. I thought the sound men took it down playing games, like, so I wouldn't look at the clock, and then thought, hey, the joke's over, and they put it up. But it was there the whole time. I just didn't see it. You'd have had to been there. It was ridiculous. It was just one of them nights. It was passionate and powerful. A lady in the front was sick for 15 years with an ailment, an accident, an injury. crippled in ways, and God just made her completely whole after sitting all that time. But her 7-year-old daughter jumped her feet. I said, is that the time? And they went, huh, what? And then everybody felt like me. Nobody knew. They were just like, it was just one of them moments. She'd had to been there. And I said, I have to stop. And a 7-year-old leaped to her feet and said, no, don't stop. 7. I said, honey, how old are you? She said, 7. I said, why don't you want me to stop? You should be pulling on your mom's arm saying, is this guy ever going to be quiet? She said, no, I get so much out of what you say. How old are you? 7. Didn't want me to stop at 11 o'clock because she got so much out of what I said. Lest you become like a little child. You know what that means, don't you? It doesn't mean childish. It means restoration of innocence. We become analytical and sophisticated. And sophistication, one of the root meanings is lack of innocence. We're so sophisticated that we assess everything and analyze everything and miss the simple truth of things. A 7-year-old doesn't know to say, okay, he said enough for one night. We got enough to take home. Da, 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 da. She's just gone. She's 7. And she says, I don't want you to quit. I get so much out of what you say. So yeah, so you guys got off easy. If you're sick in your body, you need healing in any way. Let me do it this way quick. If you're sick in your body and you need healing, but there'd be no way to tell if you were healed. You would need a test. You would need to sit longer than I made you, or work hard for a day, or migraines coming and going. There'd no way to tell right now if you were healed. You'd no way could check it, but there's a condition that you need removed from your life that's been coming and going, or that's in your blood or your body that you can't tell through a physical manifestation, but you know you need healing for that. Let me see your hands real quick, please. There'd be no way to tell if you were healed. No way. Do me a favor, if you can, stand to your feet real quick. If you're sitting near them, just grab their hand or something. Somebody just make physical contact in a non-offensive way. Just a sensitive, loving way. Just somebody touch somebody that's standing. This is a simple prayer of faith, guys. This is powerful. In fact, if you're here all weekend and the weekend would be able to tell if in the course of 2 days or something, you make sure you let somebody know that, hey, when I stood up that night, the testimonies we get from these times are beautiful. When you preach the gospel, the gospel's in the room. Like, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. When you preach the goodness and love of God, the goodness and love of God is everywhere because you're preaching Him and He's here. So this, it sounds simple. It's to the cynical, to the unbelieving, it's like foolishness. Man. But it's not foolishness, is it? It's Christ crucified, man. Woo! So we're going to pray a simple prayer of faith. When you can't test or check something, there's nothing to check or look. So you have one response. And it's funny because when you can check or look, you still have one response. When my knee didn't change Wednesday night when I went to bed, it doesn't change Him. It doesn't change the love He has for me. It doesn't change the calling, the anointing, the relationship, the love, the promise. My knee is no threat to the gospel. But I promise you the gospel is a great threat to the condition of that knee on Wednesday night. Don't get that switched. And don't get into striving and start reading all your promise books and quoting all night. Learn to receive His love. Father, I totally trust You. You're doing an amazing work in me. You sent Your Son. You love me. You're the one that restores me. Thanks for making me whole. I appreciate what You're doing in my body. Thank You. It won't hinder one thing about this weekend. The truth shall not be hindered. God, You're amazing. Thank You. And you crawl in bed and sleep. You say, yeah, but my knee. No, but Him, but Him. You get what I'm saying? You wake up in the morning and your knee's still hurting. How's the truth change? How's relationship change? How's intimacy and righteousness and forgiveness of sins change? Nothing's changed. You don't let the condition decide who you are and then take that to Him. You let who you and Him are decide who you are and take that to this and stay there, period. I'd still be doing that if I was up here on a chair. Do you understand that? If they had to roll me to the car, nothing's changed about His love for me. Do you get that? You can't let this stuff shake your mind so analytically that you step out of relationship with Him. Simple prayer of faith tonight. But I'm telling you, God's going to do stuff all through this room. I'm just telling you. There's no way to stop it. Because you stood up. It's too late. I don't know that it would have mattered if you stood up. Love's coming. So we're going to pray for you. And the people that are touching you are going to pray. It's not just because I'm here in a corporate anointing and my gifting and you're under that umbrella. It's because Jesus is Lord and He loves us. And by faith you stood up. Amen? So you have one response as we pray tonight. Father, thank you that you love me. You're so good. I appreciate what you do in me. I appreciate making me whole. Thanks for your unstoppable love for me. It's just simple. It's relational. And you go to bed like that tonight. You wake up in the morning like that. Are you following me? So we're going to pray for you right now. And there's no way to test these folks, so we're not going to be able to check anything. But you make sure you let somebody know how God touched you tonight. Okay? Will you do that? You don't have to email me or let me know. I know God's doing things in here tonight. If you were getting migraines 2-3 times a week, 4 times, they ain't coming back. You know? You say, ain't a word. Well, I used it. It sounded all right. It ain't coming back. Who's getting migraines once in a while through the week and it's hindering your life and hindering you? Yeah. It's not coming back. Let me see your hands. Migraines. Not coming back. Put your hand on their foreheads. Touch that young lady right there on her forehead. It's going to be good. In Jesus' name. Never touch her again in the authority of King Jesus. Never again. Another migraine, sir. Never again, sir. In Jesus' name, be free. The peace of heaven rest upon you. The love and mercy of God be yours. Father, I thank you that every sickness and disease leave right now this room. Every situation that's standing, that's represented here, every condition of the body that's less than wholeness, we thank you to be removed by the love and mercy of God through Jesus Christ. Just believe that over them. If you're touching that person that stood, just say something simple like, from your heart, be healed in Jesus' name. Come on, you can't go wrong with that. Then you can't get in trouble. You can't get self-conscious. Your prayer doesn't heal anybody. You do know that, right? It's His finished work that heals. It's not your prayer. Your prayer has never healed anyone and it never will. It's what you believe that releases that finished work. Be healed in Jesus' name. Because if it's your prayer that heals, then you're self-conscious and you better learn to pray better. Come on, it's not works, it's grace. Be healed in Jesus' name is enough. He touched folks and didn't even say nothing. He told devils to go with a word. It was probably go or out. Or leave. Whatever it was good. I've learned that when we pray for the sick, we get very self-conscious and we try to pray hard and pray good. And that's probably why we don't see a lot of the fruit that we're hoping for. Because we're way too involved. He finished the work and He loves us, people. So you be healed in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, move through every person standing. And thank you that every situation is removed from every person's life. Complete wholeness, God, across the board in this room. In Jesus' name, be healed. Now you thank Him for that. Thank Him, He loves you. Yeah. Do me a real quick favor. I got a little along with this. But if you're sick in your body right now, and you would be able to check if you were healed, and you would be able to check something. Say you weren't able to lift your arm because your rotator was tore, or you had bone on bone in your knee and it would be easy to just check. Anything, arthritis all through your joints. I need you to stand up and wave your hand. If you have sickness in your body and you would know it if you were healed, you'd be able to check it in a moment. Stand up and wave your hand. Let me see who we got because it's kind of dark out there. Okay? I want somebody to grab somebody that's standing with their hand raised. Come on, don't not stand if you need healing. Why would you sit in your chair? I feel like there's still people sitting because you've been through this before or something. Don't be through this before. Stand to your feet. Who else? Who's sitting that still needs healing in their body? Come on, you have sickness. I feel like there's 15, 12 people sitting, 15 people in my heart. I feel it. Yeah, good. I see you standing now. Get your hand high if you just stood up. Go to them, people, one-on-one. Don't pray yet. Just go to them, one-on-one. Don't even pray yet. Just go say, hey, you're mine. I'm claiming you. Seriously, just go grab them and say, hey, you're mine. When they get you, put your hand down. Only leave your hand up if nobody claimed you. Then we'll know we got everybody. If they didn't claim you, leave your hand up. Do we got everybody? Okay, ask them real quick. Take 5 seconds. Say, why'd you stand? How are we praying? Just one person take the lead. Say, what are we believing for? Just ask them. Just ask them. Don't pray yet. Just ask them and you should be done by now. Don't give them the long version. Just say, I got arthritis in my joints and it's not God and I want it to go. Just be simple and quick. Don't say, well, when I was 3, I go into the long version. Everybody know why you're praying? Is everybody informed? Okay, here's what I want you to do for the sake of the house and the respect of the leadership in the house, because we don't know everybody in the room. There's all kind of trainings and teachings out there. I want this thing so simple. Jesus is enough. Who would agree? All I want tonight is pain leave, sickness go, knee be healed, arthritis go, something short and sweet. I'm giving you 15 seconds. It's not controlling. It's for your sake. You can't get self-conscious in 15 seconds. You won't run out of something to say. I'm serious. When you're praying for somebody on the street, you don't want to go through all their history and generations and forefathers. They're going to walk away from you when your eyes are closed. You open your eyes and they'll be back at work. They're already uncomfortable. There's people all around. You just pray 5 seconds. Pain you leave in Jesus' name. You come out of their body. In the authority of Jesus' name, be healed. Body be restored. Simple command form. You guys got it? Now who does the healing? But he does it through who? Through us. We're the body of Christ. Isn't that cool? We lay our hands on the sick and the sick what? Come on. It's got to be true. It's in the Bible. You ready? The person you're ready to pray for, Jesus shed blood for and he loves them. That's why they're healed. Tell them right now, be healed in Jesus' name. Pray against that thing. Tell it to go. Just body be healed. Body be whole. Arthritis you leave. Degeneration leave. Pain leave. Sickness flee. Just tell it to go and declare healing in Jesus' name. Body, you work, you function unlimited in the name of Jesus. Whatever addresses the situation they told you, pray it over them right now. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, you guys know the drill. That's 15 seconds. If you were prayed for, say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for touching me. Thank you. Now begin to check that thing, because the reason you stood up is because you'll be able to check. Now I got you on the spot, it feels, but you're not on the spot. Check your bodies right now. Check your bodies and tell me what's going on. Show me what's changed in the room. Who's changing right now? Who feels change in their body? Let me see real quick. Holler it out. Just shout out what happened. Was it hurting when they prayed? Did it leave when they prayed? Or it just feels better? It's going? But you've been checking, huh? Good. Anybody else? Who changed? What changed? Just talk to me. Shout it out, honey. Could you feel it beating off? And it's even keel now? For months, it's been irregular and you could feel it and it changed when they prayed. Ah, that's fun. See, that's fun. Now watch. They're testifying. You keep checking your body. Even if you didn't feel something change, check it as they're testifying and just thank God he loves you. Don't say, boy, why didn't that happen for me? God, you love me. You're doing a work in me. Who else changed? Let me see who changed. There was a bunch of you that stood. Like a spur type thing or something? Okay. Completely gone. Has it been ongoing all the time? So there, you could find it real easy. All night, even by my great sermon. But they prayed and it left. I believe you. Who else? Shout it out, man. Who else? Who else? Somebody else had their hand up. Was that you? Shout it out, man. Completely when they prayed. Did you notice I didn't pray over top of everybody? I was just giving you examples. I wanted you to pray. Here's what I get blamed for a lot, because we teach gifting so much in the body. We say, well, Dan, these things are happening because they're under the umbrella of your anointing. You carry that and you walk in that. I know how we can try to get that out of Scripture and stuff, but that wouldn't be... Here's what God wants. It's a priesthood of believers. The sign follows those that believe. So who here is disqualified from being a believer? This doesn't say these signs shall follow the gifted, but follow the believer. And the Bible says if we do locate a gift, the reason for the grace in that gift is to multiply the grace on that gift in the people for the work of the ministry. Or is it to draw a big conference towards that gift so he can minister to everybody? Or is it to reproduce the people in that grace?
Oh, I read the Bible.
Who else feels change in their body since we prayed? Talk to me. Yeah? What happened? They feel really good? Is it always that way before? It would be, you could make them pop and you can... Oh, it was hurting tonight, so it changed. Good. Who else raised their hand? Okay. Awesome. Anybody else knows they're healed? Who? You're hearing sound come in there better? You're hearing louder? Awesome. Real quick, I know it's late. Who? Oh, yeah. How's the morning for you? Is that the worst? When you wake up? Can you touch the floor? Okay. Is that your husband? Take her hand. Father, we thank you that this will never come back. That when my wife wakes up in the morning, zero pain, because you love her. And you're for us. And you're for us. And not against us. Thanks for your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who feels just somewhat better? You didn't raise your hand because you feel somewhat, but not all the way. Lift your hands. There's a handful of you. Yeah? Okay. Like 30, 50, 60, 80%, all that kind of stuff, just not all the way. Man, there's a bunch of you. Jump up to your feet if that's you and let us see how many people that is. That's a lot of you. Good. Let's do this real quick. This will be fun. Real quick. Are you guys okay if we do this quick or is it too late for everybody? Because I mean, yeah. People say, you're like the Energizer Bunny. I'm like, no, I've burned out many of Energizers in my battery pack. They are no match for the Jesus in me, my friend. That little rabbit with a drum is no match for what's in my spirit, I promise you. I'm so wired right now. So are the people that prayed for you still close to you? Are they still here? Or did they bolt out? If you prayed for that... The people standing, wave your hands quick. They feel somewhat better. Now listen, this is a no-brainer. If it's somewhat better, is it because God's moving and doing something and it's obvious? Or is it because Jeff's playing so good and you're emotional? What is it? It's because something's changing. Come on. So let's pray right now. When something's changed, I always pray. If I'm getting momentum, if I'm praying for somebody in a mall and they tell me it's better... I say, well, let's pray again. And they're up for it because it's better. And if they say, you know, it's even a little better. I say, great, let's pray again. We're nailing this thing down. And if I have to pray five times, I will without questioning it. Say, wonder what's lacking in my anointing. No, thank God they're healed. Let's pray. Watch what happens in this room. It'll be fun. Pray the same way you prayed the first time. Don't get creative. Don't press in. You get into works. Just God, you love them. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for making it better, but you're a finished work. Total healing in Jesus' name. Just pray it over them right now. Complete restoration. We're not unthankful for what happened. We just know that you've done it all. Thank you in Jesus' name. That's all I want you to pray over them. Complete work. Finished, God, because of your love. Thanks in Jesus' name. I don't want any exaggeration. Don't make anything up. Don't give us the right answer. You lie, you fry. I read that somewhere in Revelation. It's late in the chapters. Lie, fry. It's not good. That's like for shrimp or something, breaded shrimp or something. So check your bodies right now. Check your bodies and tell me what changed even more and what went away. There's people that got completely better that time. You, both of you? Did it go? Did it change? Yeah, three of you right down the middle here. All of you? Boom. Who else? Be real. Don't exaggerate. Who changed? More? Somewhat, but not all the way back there? How about you? Going? And you too, ma'am? Even more. It's between you and the person. If it's changing more, go ahead and pray on your own. How about any of you girls that stood? Some girls stood up over here. Got better? Yeah? Going or just better? Oh, that's cool. You look excited. So you can tell it's different. How about you, honey? Okay, good. Just pray that her never come back. Never come back. How about you, honey? What are we believing for? You got better the first time a little bit or something? It's all right. Talk to me. Okay. Listen, let me be honest. Raise your hands quick. Give me 6-7 minutes and we'll be out of here. Who felt nothing changed when we prayed and everything seemed the same physically as when you first stood up? Let me see. Be honest. Raise your hands. Don't be condemned. Don't be shy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. Now here's the deal. That reason right there, 10, that thing right there is what keeps people from praying for the sick because they say, wonder if nothing happens. But if you look at a symptom not leaving in the moment and believe nothing, you're deceived, and then you won't pray for the sick because wonder if nothing happens, and you already got what you're fearing, nothing. Because you don't ever release faith. Watch. Did my knee change Wednesday night when I prayed over it? Did my knee change after Thursday or after Thursday night when I packed my bag? It changed when I was packing my bag. Was it still the same in the morning? Do you think I prayed over it? When you prayed for me over the phone on Thursday, he spoke things over me. He spoke. Right? Yeah, oh boy, nothing feels different, Jason. Man, maybe you better try again. It's not like that. Listen, faith is not a point in time or a hit, miss, win or lose. Faith is the position of your heart to believe what he accomplished. Here's one of the biggest stumbling blocks when we pray for the sick. People are afraid of something not happening, whether it's the person being prayed for or the person praying. And then we turn God into a point in time and we let the symptom or the lack of change determine our faith instead of his unfailing love. So when you pray for somebody and nothing changes, what's our response as a Christian? God, thank you for the honor that I could lay hands on them and release the kingdom. And I believe, sincerely, I believe you're doing a work in their body. Thanks for making things new. Thanks for bringing change. You're leaving the service not going, man, I wonder why they, and the tingling left, and that person, and there's no more in their heel. Man, God, what am I doing wrong? What's blocking me? That's what people do when they don't see change. And then they go on to this questioning that subverts faith. How about doing this? Father, thank you that you love me. They've released the kingdom over me tonight, and you're doing a work in me, and I just thank you that you make all things new. You are so for me and not against me, and I thank you for your failure. And you crawl into bed with that heart. And you wake up in the morning with that heart. And you watch and see what happens to that thing that's trying to hold on to your body. Are you guys following me? Or you're going to get analytical and talk yourself into a natural confusion. And the people that are praying are going to feel like, man, maybe I should have got them to pray. It seemed like God was moving when they prayed. Serious, we do it. So the people that we saw no change when we prayed, raise your hands quick if you're still here and I didn't run you off yet. I'm going to pray over you real quick. You have one response tonight. You go to bed in fellowship and communion with God, guys. You get it, guys, that raised your hand, all of you that I'm looking at? Father, I bless them and I thank you. You've done a work in them and I thank you that faith was released and hands were laid and your love's unstoppable. I thank you this thing has no chance or no choice but to leave their bodies. You're doing an amazing work in them. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for wholeness. Everybody that seems somewhat healed, I thank you all the way. And everybody in the first round of people that couldn't check in the moment, just thank you that they see you've done a great thing. We bless you, God, and we thank you for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, I kept you guys long enough. Just bless you. Thanks for praying for one another, and thank you for getting in this thing, okay? We'll see you tomorrow if you can make it. Bless you.